Welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week, we're going to be talking to Rika, an artist from London, and she's going to be telling us all about her songwriting and some small techniques that she uses to help write those radio-ready songs. So if you're looking to improve or just get some advice about how to really hone in on your songwriting, this one's for you. As ever, we are Hypertribe, and if you want to check out what we do, head over to www.hypertribe.io. We are utilizing technology to help build the artist entrepreneur and be able to put artists in a position of power. All right, over to Rika. Hi, Rika. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself and who you are?
Hi, I'm Rika. I'm a 19-year-old singer-songwriter from London. I do pop music and yeah, I just love my job. I love writing. I love singing, performing.
There's going to be a lot of people out there that want to know how you are, you know, 19 years old and you're so definitive in your music pretty much. So let's start at the beginning. How did you first get into music? Like, what drew you to music as a career?
So I started doing like musical theater when I was in school, like in secondary school. So they did a lot of plays and musicals and I just did them all because it was a really fun extracurricular activity. And I just really enjoyed acting and singing and being on stage. I like dabbled in musical theater for a bit. I thought maybe I could do musical theater. I then found out that I'm not vocally equipped for musical theater. So I was like, there's definitely better people out there to do that than me. So then I started songwriting when I was 16 and I wrote a couple songs. I put them out on YouTube and then I put out my first single, which was No Need, independently. I did two singles independently.
Yeah.
And No Need was like one of the first songs which I wrote. And I was like, okay, yeah, this feels really like me. Like, you know, this is definitely what I want to say and stuff. It was like about bullying and stuff and how I was like bullied but in school. And I was like, there's no need to be unkind. Like that's like the whole message of the song.
Yeah. I mean, that's like real life experience, right? And you're trying to obviously process emotions in songwriting. Mm. You probably needed some sort of inspiration somewhere anyway.
Yeah.
So fortunately, it just came out this way. I'm not saying obviously bullying's a good thing, but I mean, I'm just saying like, it was some sort of inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm. It definitely was. And I mean, even though I had like a tough time in school, I mean, the single ended up doing really well. It charted in India. It's accumulated around 2.3 million views on YouTube. And
yeah, that's overall, awesome.
Thank you. It just overall did really well. And I think it really just like reaffirmed me that, oh, yep, this is the right path. Like, this is what I'm meant to be doing.
Let's talk about India for a second, because there's a massive transition for the songs that you're writing, obviously. You're born and bred here, right? In London.
Born and bred in London. Yeah, I've lived here my whole life.
I mean, the crossover as well between India and here, that's because of family?
Yeah, so I'm part Indian. My dad's from India. His family's from a place called Agra. That's where like the Taj Mahal is. And my mom is Serbian-Hungarian, so I've always lived with a lot of culture around me growing up, and I definitely wanted to showcase that in my music and in my visuals. And one of my singles, Hold On To Me, had kind of taken some inspiration from those Bollywood melodies, and I had like done some of that in the song itself, and the visuals for that song is like, I think like the pinnacle of like, had like my heritage being half Indian and like half Eastern European. I really tried to showcase that visually.
I'm half Irish, half Sri Lankan, and I know what it's like to mix the two cultures, but to have culture to be able to affect your music and also for you personally to be able to have that massive crossover between Indian and Britain. Like, you know, it's the two in terms of sound and cultural, you know, inspiration. That's, I mean, be, you know, playing on the BBC and also being able to, you know, rack everything up in India. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. And I'm really excited, especially for my next project. I just announced that my debut EP is coming out this Friday. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I'm really excited. It's been a long time in the making. And the time is just right now. Everything is right. Like, I'm just really, really excited for it. And one of the songs is like the lead single of the EP is called Left to Love. And it's a feature with an American Indian artist called Mickey Singh. And he sings in English. And then we do this part and the hook is like in Punjabi. And it's just really amazing because the song itself sounds so mainstream. It sounds like a Taylor Swift or like an Ariana Grande song. And then just hear this Hindi hook, and I'm just really excited to, you know, share something sonically new to everyone and to the world. And just the EP overall, I'm just really excited to be releasing a project. Like, I've wanted to release one since I was 17, and I'm just glad I have like a collection of my favorite songs which I get to just share with people. You know, it's always like a great feeling, like releasing music. It's I just like putting out music is probably the best feeling ever. It's so nerve-wracking, you know, you're just staring at midnight like, oh my god, are people actually gonna listen to this? People are gonna like it? And then it's really great.
Honestly, I can't wait to hear the full song. I know that you put out some promo about it as well. That sounds absolutely mad. I'll definitely be downloading it. But let's talk about how that song came about, because we're talking today, obviously, about songwriting. And where did your songwriting come from? I mean, specifically, I mean, it's almost as if you didn't have any rubbish songs. They just kind of you just started and they just happened to all be awesome. So what was the process?
I'm flattered, but that's definitely not the case. Like, I definitely have some songs in the vault which shall never see the light of day because they're so terrible. But I think that's like the fun thing about songwriting is that you hear all these artists and like how amazing they write their songs and like, or just how well they're put together. And then you're like, oh, they probably like always write like this. And then you realize, you know, if I have like songs which I adore and half songs which, you know, I would rather throw in the bin. And everyone else does as well. Like, you can't have all your songs be great ones. And I think once I learned to take that pressure off myself to make every song like the number one hit or like make every song like the best one or better than the next, I think that's when I really started to enjoy songwriting a lot more. Like, just enjoy the process of more than like the result. Like, obviously it's amazing to get an amazing song and the results are phenomenal, but like, I think that enjoying the process is what makes the result even that much more amazing.
Yeah. That's such good advice, actually. I think if you fall in love with the process, then you naturally release the pressure of having produced the next best song or to be a perfectionist about the end result. So I'm just thinking that if there's about 100 songs or whatever in the vault, I mean, first of all, how many are there in the vault that we haven't heard?
Definitely more than 100. Like, definitely.
Okay, so there is a process of being able to kind of turn on. I heard this quote where it's a bit like, you know, having water coming out of a rusted tap. Water will come out and it will be a bit like, you know, it'll be brown and whatever for a little while, and then it will go clean. And so that's kind of the songwriting process. It's like you got to kind of get it out of your system first. Do you think that it gets better or easier with time as the songwriting process kind of like goes on, that you found that there's less songs kind of going into the vault? Or do you think it's consistently like, okay, I'm still trying to like hone in my craft and it's something that just is?
I think you're forever honing in your craft, you know? I mean, I think you never really stop learning or adapting or changing the way you write or feel sonically or want to express yourself. And I'm not like 100% in agreement with that tap, the expression. Because I'm like, sometimes you turn it on and it just will never stop being brown, and you just get into periods where it's just brown, 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 gunk, gunk everywhere. It's getting all over my clothes at this point. And then there's just sometimes when you turn it on and it's like Swedish clean tap water, which I can just drink and make immaculate pop music with, you know? So I think it just, like, there are times where I've had extremely bad periods where every song was just no. I just, you know, my brain was not working in that way. Like, I've been there sometimes where it's been amazing and I've written loads of songs and they've all been like ones which I really love. And I think it just depends on a lot of things because songwriting is so organic, you know. Obviously, practicing does make it, you know, better. And then you understand, you know, what letters work better together and how you like to use like rhyme schemes and like stuff like that.
So talk us through Rika's kind of rhyme schemes and those kind of things. That give us an example, because I think that's really helpful, actually, like understanding what works and what doesn't. What's that like as an example?
Like when you songwrite, I feel like it's really important to, you know, have an idea of where the song is going, because the production of the song and the vibe of the song can totally change how you songwrite. For example, in my song Hold On To Me, I have like a really fast-paced chorus, I mean, verse, like, because it like follows the beat of the guitar and like the plucking and just sets the mood. And then the chorus is like these big, long notes, which are just extended forever and really spacious. And it's really good to have that variation of space and clutteredness, because the way that is, it tells a story in itself, you know, like all the clutteredness and what I'm saying in the verse of the song, like, for every time that you told me go away, you showed me patience, you always waited for me. Like, it shows that, oh, I was in this rough patch, and like, you know, it's fast paced and you just like, you're trying to push through it. And then the chorus is like, but a part of me is right by your side, and that makes it all right. Like, it's just these long notes and like these, this positive message where you're like, yeah, like the peak of the song is like some, like, this is the positive highlight of the song, which this is where we've gotten to from the verse. Like, we've traveled there.
So there's a tempo and there's something that's obviously that can kind of go, you know, change the tempo of the song. But when you say production as well, so do you write with producers, or is it like, especially during quarantine times right now? I mean, are we talking about, are you writing individually and then talking to them, or do you guys write together?
Production wise, I've been sent like a few beats from like producers and stuff, which I've written on. So like they send like a whole beat and then I like catch a vibe from the beat itself. And then I write to that. I haven't actually written with a producer yet. I've written with a couple of writers on top of that, but I actually haven't built a song from scratch.
And in terms of when you first started out as well, first started out and you started kind of thinking about the songwriting process, you obviously needed subjects. One of them we talked about was bullying. As you go on in your career, do you find that obviously those subjects are changing a little bit? And what are you writing about, really?
Well, when I write, I like to write from a really genuine place. Like, I don't know, like trying to fake a scenario or like something like that just personally doesn't work for me. Like, you know, because I don't feel like I've felt that emotion or like have really, like, I can speak from that from a certain experience, which I haven't been in, you know. So personally for me, I like to write from a really like personal place. And I feel like all of my favorite songs, which I've written, have come from that place of really feeling what I felt and then translating that into the session or like into the song. So I was like, over like a year ago, I was just writing about like love and like happy emotions. Like, you know, a lot of my earlier singles are like quite sprightly and like energetic, but then after that I just kind of felt like, okay, I'm not always like, you know, this energetic, like
to be honest. I'm kind of an introvert and I don't really don't have this much energy. I just stay in bed all the time. Legit, I don't go out. Like, why am I writing about going out that much? So I've like is kind of like transgressed into like other stuff. I have this song on my EP called Believe in Ya, which is about a party situation. Like, I went to an event and I met this person, and then I met their ex-girlfriend the next day at a different event, and they were telling me all these things about this person. Like, oh yeah, they did this, they cheated on me with this person. And I was like, oh gosh. So that song's about like the temptation of, you know, going after something which, you know, you shouldn't be going after, because everyone's telling you like, sis, this is not good news, but you kind of just want to do it anyway, you know, because, you know, you only live once at this point. Like, who knew we could even predict a lockdown? I probably should have even gone for it, to be honest. But yeah, it's just I like writing from experiences and feelings, which I felt. The fun thing about songwriting is that someone else could hear it and it'd feel personal to them or reflect something to them. And I just love that can happen with music.
Yeah. And do you ever get writer's block?
Oh yeah, totally. I had like December was such a huge writer's block. Like, I just couldn't write a single word and it was terrible. All the songs I was writing were absolutely terrible. And I was like, what am I doing?
Do you have techniques to get out of it? Or do you just think, you know what, that's it, just let it pass and then jump back into it?
I think with writer's block, the one thing which like helps me out with writer's block the most is definitely like new stimulus, like going to do something new, making yourself do something new, like taking yourself out on a date, or like just doing something completely new. Getting out there, outside, nature is a great stimulus for creativity. Every time I like go on a bike ride, I always think of a song idea and I like end up having to hum it all the way home on the bike ride so I don't forget what I'm humming.
I mean, that's another thing as well. It's like being able to record things quickly, right?
Yeah, I think for writer's block, just seeing something new always helps. But also just giving yourself that break, because you don't just write, like you don't get writer's block for like no reason, I feel like. I feel like that's your body's like subconscious way of telling you, okay, we need a little break. I'm kind of tired, you know, like give me a minute. Like it's more like writer's, you know, mini holiday. Because writer's block almost sounds like really negative, like you're blocked from something. I think it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of changed the perspective of it to be like writer's mini vacay.
Writer's process, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, yeah, and mini vacation, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's better. And just taking the time to chill. It is okay to chill. You don't need to keep writing. Like, one thing I learned is, you can work really hard at something, but part of, you know, getting better is allowing yourself to rest and recuperate and to take a step back. One of the best ways to go forward, which sounds so bizarre, and it literally doesn't work. Like, you can't step backwards to go forwards, like physically. But in this sense, it like works.
No, it does. And I think rest and recuperation is something that everybody underestimates.
Mm-hmm.
I always have one evening off at least, like making sure I'm not doing anything. And I think that's something that most people probably need to, you know, especially if you're creative, they need to actually just put in, you know, put into their schedule if that's a thing. But you're also playing, I saw you're playing at the O2 later in the year though. So not everything's cancelled, hey?
Yet. I'm like very unsure of the situation and I don't know how much better it's gonna get by August/September.
Yeah.
I'm even considering it moving it to December or even next year, just because I don't know, like there's so much uncertainty in the future, you know, making the best of all the inside time.
Just to say that Rika is also one of the mentors on the Pioneer program that we're running. So, yeah, really happy that you've obviously come aboard for that. But if anybody wants to find out any more about yourself and hear the new single and everything, where can they find you?
You can find me at Rika Official on Instagram and Twitter. yeah, the EP drops on the 8th of May. And yeah, I'm just really excited. I'm also really excited to be involved on Kimmy's initiative. I think it's a really great initiative, and I can't wait to be a mentor and start that.
You know, it's all about women in music and making sure that we can kind of put everyone like yourself, like front and center. But thank you so much, Rika, for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge on songwriting. I hope that you've enjoyed it too. But yeah, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Plugged Into. If you enjoyed that, then please let us know. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So do give us a shout out. We always love to hear from our listeners, and we're so excited to be able to bring these awesome guests to you. As ever, if you want to go check out what we do, head over to www.hypertribe.io. On there, you can see how we're building the artist entrepreneur and really putting artists in a position of power. I've been your host, Kimmy Dixon, founder of Hypertribe, of which this Plugged Into podcast is a production of. And until next time, take care and stay safe.